This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike to tell you along with the legendary Herb Tyler here.
Legendary.
How about that? At Acme Oyster House, and the doors are open. 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got a lot of great food and drink specials here. We already got a few customers that already rolled in almost before the 11 o'clock open up. And also, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Herb, one of the things that Jeff brought up was, you know, line play up front, and I do think that's an area that you got to recruit high school kids. But I think maybe the biggest part of Brian Kelly missing is been some of the guys he's picked up in the transfer portal up front, defensive line. You've whiffed on that. Those guys have not worked out.
So there was three positions that I was really excited about with Brian Kelly when he came in to LSU. The first was the tight end position.
Yep.
The second was offensive line. Mm-hmm. And the third was defensive line. Because I thought he did a phenomenal job.
At Notre Dame, he had it.
Yeah, he did a phenomenal job of selecting those three position type players. And I just haven't seen it thus far, you know. And I don't know. Well, I do know why. I think it's a part of the NIL and all this other stuff. I think that has a thing to do with the difference in how you recruit certain people and who you can bring in. Because everybody else is vying for the same person. But somebody might give another $200,000 to him, and he may lean that way and go in that direction.
If he played defensive tackle, I'll give him that money.
I would, too.
That's the way I look at it.
I would, too. But then you're fighting a battle, okay, so you got a quarterback who's just offered $10.5 million by somebody else. So, you know, I need that $200,000, you know, to give back to him. So, you know, so that's what I mean by that. I think the game has changed in regards to recruiting. So I was really excited about Coach Kelly coming in for those three positions, tight ends, offensive line, and defensive lineman. And I figured that at LSU, you can get all of the skill position players because they just want to come to
Louisiana
LSU.
Louisiana.
Yeah, they're all over. That's right.
God,
the only thing that was a difficult situation was the linebacker play. And so just trying to figure out where you would get those guys from, you know. But
isn't that weird? Because today's linebackers look like safeties.
They do.
And I'll look at it. Does Louisiana produce a lot of linebackers? No.
No.
Mm-mm. Really? And, you know, Cooper, who was at Texas A&M, you know, he was a Louisiana guy.
Yep.
LSU passed on him.
Yep.
And he went to A&M instead. But that, to me, of anything in the recruiting cycle, is strange that you don't have a bout full of those linebackers that could play the way the game's played today, not yesteryear, today.
Yeah, because you would think that the size type athlete that we, I guess, breed here in Louisiana would be one of those type of athletes because we have guys that can fit the mold when it comes to what they look like, the physicality of them.
And at one time you had it.
That's right.
Debo Jones?
That's right. You're Debo, you know, and we can go down the line, too, when you start talking about that. Brady James, you know, is one of the best linebackers of all time.
I mean, Trey Falk,
you know. So, I mean, we have them. It's just, where are they, right? I'm assuming they're playing receiver now.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? We see it at all the camps.
That's right.
You'll see a guy. He's 6'2", and he's like 195 pounds in high school. And I'll ask him you know, what you play? Oh, I play wide receiver. What you play on defense? I don't play defense. That's the second question. That's sort of a dumb question, but he gives it to you sharp. No, I don't play defense.
See, you know, back in the days, Don't forget, guys, I was Mr. Interception back at Etna Carr in 90 and 91, and I caught five interceptions in a shortened season due to a strike by the teachers. So, you know, I understand the two-way player. So as an offensive quarterback and then switching over to cornerback.
Just like Hebert.
I mean, I was wonderful.
You sound just like Hebert with that. Because he was the same way, too. He was a defensive back
before
he got moved to the quarterback his senior year.
But you know what? That was fun to do, though, at the end of the day, because we enjoyed playing the game of football. So it didn't matter. And then before we went to practice or after practice, we would go outside around the neighborhood and play ball in the street. And so when you play ball in the street, you're playing every position. You're playing quarterback, receiver, cornerback, some type of safety, if you will. Nice touch football, but that's where you garner those skills at, you know, and where how you can, you know, your awareness and finding the ball, your ball skills and things like that, whereas now they don't do that. And so it's just only the time that they're at football practice or doing some kind of 7-on-7. That's right.
Today, much more than any other time ever in sports.
We'd play football for 2 hours and then turn around and play basketball and then turn around and go play baseball and then turn around
and then
go
run track.
That's right. And, you know, but this was all in the same day, though. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Doing all this, you know, so it's not like different seasons. But it was fun, though. But we don't see that in the recruiting cycle when you come to the linebacker playing that kind of stuff. But LSU does need to figure out a way up front on both sides of the ball. How can we recruit better and get better offensive linemen, defensive linemen, that the fans, that the NFL, that the college experts all are used to LSU having? That's the thing. Now, at one point, I thought LSU didn't have the greatest offensive linemen, and I think that most of them were going to Alabama and Georgia, places like that. But we would always be competitive up front on the defensive side. And so we need to figure out a better way to get these athletes in or to be committed and stay with LSU.
Look at it this way. Whit Weeks is 10 pounds less from being a safety.
That's right.
You take a look at his build.
I mean,
he just looks like a kind of pumped up safety.
That's right.
Harold Perkins, I think this is the first year he's playing, and his second number is a 2.
It's a 2.
He was 210 or 215 or 218. So that's the type player today that they're looking for at the linebacker position, because now they're putting a lot of pressure on them, not only to play the run, but you got to cover.
That's right.
Because if you don't cover, hey, you got to watch.
And that's what they've been trying to do with Harold now, you know, before he got injured. They were trying to figure out how do we accelerate his game.
Well, my thing is put him on the line and say, sick him, Harold. Go get the quarterback.
At LSU, yes. But they're looking forward to the NFL in the future and what he's going to be. But I don't really care what he's going to be in the future.
That's what I think.
I want him to go get the quarterback right now.
Exactly.
Because he's best suited. Because what's going to happen is if he doesn't make any plays at LSU, he may not get the opportunity to make plays in the NFL at the end of the day. So let's allow him the opportunity to make every play he can at LSU and then let the NFL deal with him when they get there.
I think that one game against A&M where A&M kind of squashed him, they played big ball, and Achan's still running you know, off those edge plays, I think sort of changed their mind about it. My thing is just move him around. That way you can't aim your offense toward him every play.
No.
Move him.
And here's the thing. You don't have to be stuck in the mud when it comes to trying to just play coach football and present whatever your defense or offense or whatever your game plan is. Be different.
Yeah.
Be innovative. Be creative. Do all of these if things that there are, right, to do so that you're not just this one-dimensional or this one type of coaching or football team or plan or whatever that is. Because if it were I would have first team, second team, and third team guys, right? I would figure out a way to mix and match the second team personnel to work with the first team, or third team to work with a second team, or third team guy to work with a first team guy, because you're going to need them all at some point. And if you mix and match the right, you know, players at the right time, you never know what you get. You may have a guy who's a big plugger in the middle of the field, but he's not going to really get to the quarterback, but he's a good run stop.
Yeah.
And then you have a guy on the outside that's a really good run stop that can get to the quarterback sometimes when he needs to. And then on the other side, you get somebody, all he needs to do is get to the quarterback. How about you find a way to mix and match those guys together and make that work? And then I just think that creativity is one of the things that's been kind of lacking when it comes to to football when it comes to depth charts and things like that. Because I just remember, you know, when we played Florida in 97, the one thing that we did was they did what they called at the time the Chinese Bandits. And so with it, they had a second group.
That's the second version of the Chinese Bandits.
That's right.
Because so Dietzel did the first
that's
one.
That's right. So they did a first team, a second team, and they did a third team. And what they did was they rotated them out. So they all were fresh the whole entire time, but Florida's offense was not. And so you can run a second team up against a first team 50% Florida offensive lineman that your second team is at 60%, so you're 10% better than their offensive lineman, their first team at 50%, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I get you.
And so what they were doing was they were always fresh and they were outmanning them. And that's the approach that I would take when I'm on defense, because it's hard to do it on offense, but you can do it on defense because you're just, like you said, sick them. Go get the quarterback. Go get the ball.